Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for Skechers ArchFit Footwear.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. ArchFit Footwear? Ah, I don't need arch support. Well, I thought the same, and these are still my favorite trainers. You see, Skechers ArchFit are great for virtually everybody. ArchFit was designed by experts, giving you podiatrist-certified arch support and all-day comfort. Plus, I don't wear them just for arch support. I love how they look too. Feel what you've been missing with Skechers ArchFit.
Find Skechers ArchFit Footwear for men and women everywhere.
Hello everybody, 7 o'clock ish on Friday. So what's that mean? It's the Long Run Show live stream and podcast brought to you by the 40 Runs Running Community and our sponsor Skechers. Head along to skechers.co.uk and check out all their great deals on gear and trainers. I'm Ian Wilkinson. Tonight I'm joined by Toby Frost, Chris Ford, and Chris, we got a guest.
I know, and a special guest is that. The man who I've wanted on this show day one. And that's genuine. You know that because I've kept pestering you. So I've wanted Andy, Forest of Dean Andy. We're going to find out all about Andy in a short moment. But I've wanted him on here since day one. And the reason for that is because he's one of the good ones. And that's why we want him on. We're going to talk about...
This is where the good ones hang out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about running and getting faster and what an awesome runner is, but straight at the front end, just a nice guy. Nice guy.
So, Appreciate it. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So this is, Andy, so just so you know, I'm well too loud in my own ears, by the way, Tobe. But So this is live, Andy. So you can say anything you want and you're going to get hammered in the comments potentially. So it doesn't matter. We've got this chat box going through. We're recording this live. This is going to go out as a podcast. Mm-hmm. So welcome if you're listening to this as your podcast. I hope you're enjoying your run. But Wilco, we've got some breaking news. And it's the reason why I'm late, because I was late this evening.
Yeah, rocked up at 6:58, crashed through the door.
Yeah, I'm usually there at 6:56, but I was late. So breaking news, next week we are... getting behind Global Running Day. Next week, if you didn't realise, first Wednesday of June every year is Global Running Day. And what we want to do is we want to mobilise everybody. Whether you're part of 40 Runs, not part of 40 Runs, part of the club, not part of the club, watch YouTube channel, don't watch it, listen to the podcast. Well, you probably listen to this. Either way, we want you out running at 6:15 p.m. UK time next Wednesday. There's a reason why 6:15. Because I'm going to be in London. The lovely guys at Brooks UK are doing a get-together at Runners Need in Monument. You're welcome to come along. If you're in the Facebook group, there's a link to sign up because the 50 places get like some goodies and cool things like that. But we're going to be in London at 6:15 on that Wednesday, but we meet at 6 and we're going to go out for a little gentle trot around London. So we want everybody to come along to that. But if you can't get to that, because I appreciate it's in the capital and a lot of our wonderful people that listen to this show or you know, watch it are all over the country, which is one of the most amazing things.
World, mate.
Yeah, all global. We're massive in Vietnam and the Philippines. So I want you to get out there at 6:15 next week. And then I want you to take a picture, whether it's an ussie, which I found out that's a word today, by the way, or a selfie. And I want you to get onto Instagram and tag me and tag Brooks and tag the Long Run Show. Just tag everyone. Tag Andy as well, because he loves it. And just tag everybody that you want. And just get out there and smash the life out of social media. Smash the life out of your running. Even if you're going out there and you're doing 1K, which for some is massive. I want you to get out there. Next week, no excuses. Maybe you've been on the injury bench. Maybe you've given up because your mojo's gone. Maybe you think you're too fat to run. Maybe you haven't got, you know, anything that's going on in your mind. Well, there's no excuses next week. Join all of us. Let's get out there and mobilise the nation, okay? No excuses. Wilco, have I got their attention?
I think so, mate. Yeah, just for everybody's attention, you know, if you're not used to listening to the show live, if you've logged on via Facebook or YouTube, you can comment as we go along. Yes. Rob87 said, what a guest. Let's talk Spurs for the next hour. No, it's the cricket season. We're not doing that. But if you've got any sensible suggestions that you'd like us to talk about and questions for Andy and Chris, drop us a line in there and I'll try and keep an eye on it and read them out while they bang on about all these PBs they've been smashing out the last
few weeks. This is the thing. This is the man above me, as I'm watching it, is my inspiration for doing this. There's the old boy. And by the way, this is how late I was, right? And Tobe was, because Tobe wasn't necessarily going to be on tonight. We hadn't even managed to like put something together about Hayden tonight. And I've got some unbelievable. And if you didn't know, one of our co-hosts, I don't know if you've met Hayden, but Hayden, he used to be in the boy band. Well, they're called Five now, but he was in the band. They were called Six back then and he left. But he was also a West End star as a child in Oliver. But he's denied it for years.
Wow. We've
got actually the footage of him in the show. But I didn't have time to put it together tonight, so which is a real shame. But we will get that. Next week's a pre-record, by the way, everybody, because we're going to be at Blade and Races. We'll come on to that in a minute. But next week's a special show. But yeah, so the week after, I promise you, I will get that foot. Well, I think it's a picture, actually, of our world famous, well, what is he? Personality, I suppose.
He's just a star, isn't he?
Superstar. Hayden, yeah. So was you a fan, Andy, of the band Five, as they were now?
My wife has their CD. I'll be honest with you, mate. Now, I'm a bit more of a rock guy, but my wife has their CD.
Yeah, so if you look, I don't know whether it was the one with him in it or not, but have a look. Hayden might be on the cover of that.
I think he followed me on Instagram today.
Yeah, he does say he's a bit of a stalker.
I'll have a look.
But annoyingly, he's like 150 years old, but he qualified for Boston because he's a hero. Yeah. Wow. So, and that's what you need to. I mean, you technically have qualified about 100 times, haven't you?
99, mate, not 100. No, I think I've qualified 3 times now. But I promised the family an abroad race, and Boston to take the fam would be a lot. So I kind of earmarked maybe 2025, try and get a European marathon in end of this year, maybe next year, and then maybe America go.
Oh, you've just reminded me. What day did we announce it? I can't remember. It might have been yesterday, day before. So I've got to give the guys at Believe in the Run a New Balance a shout out. If you've not seen the news, I'm heading to New York City to do the New York City Marathon as part of the Train to New York 2 team. The amazing guys at Believe in the Run and New Balance have been kind enough to put me onto the team. So I'm going to be doing the New York City Marathon, Andy, which I'll be honest with you, I still
it looks
can't
amazing.
Believe.
I saw the announcement. I'm aiming the ballot for that this year. I didn't get it, but I'm committed to balloting every year now. So
you've got to do it.
Yeah,
it's apparently so hilly, like because going over the bridges, there's a hill, mile 21 or something. And then you've got a hill. As you go into Central Park, apparently it's just one big climb into Central Park.
Well, you're going to hate it. I don't know why you're bothering.
Oh, I'm not going to look forward. Well, I am. This is the thing, right? I think because I'm going to be so excited. Well, I'm just excited now anyway. But I'm going to be so excited about like just doing it. I actually don't think I'm going to notice. I will. Do you know what I mean? I think the sort of overexcitement of doing the thing, it probably won't dawn on me the fact that I'm doing all these hills. I think that's what I'm kind of I don't know. I think
it will dawn on you halfway.
Yeah, adrenaline could probably only take you so far. But the good news is, which I don't think anybody's realised yet, is the fact that Hayden's going to be out there at the same time getting hit. That's going to be his last one on his World Abbott Majors. So I'm going to be with him when he does that. I've said to him, if the price is right, I'll give him his medal. But he's got to obviously pay up because, you know, he's got millions from where he was in the band. But I'm going to be there with him when he crosses the line, bless him. We'll have to change his bag and all that sort of stuff and put his teeth in. And then we'll give him his medal. It's going to be awesome. He's going to hate it, Tobe. Imagine that. I'm there on the biggest day of his life and I'm there. What would you do, Tobe, if I was there?
Well, I'd do. I'd probably run a bit further.
Run 27 miles. I think it's good. So have you got a European eyes on a specific race, Andy?
I'm mapping a few out this autumn, if it doesn't happen this autumn, next year. So I'd like to do one in October. I can't do Valencia, sadly. It clashes with something else. So in October, I can't do the 15th or the 22nd. 22nd is my daughter's birthday. 15th is family get-together. So I can do the 1st, the 8th and the 29th. Well, the 8th is Eindhoven. The 29th is Frankfurt. Those are the two that are on my shortlist. Frankfurt works better because it goes into half term. I'd rather do Eindhoven. So I'm working out logistics. If it doesn't happen, then I'll probably jump into Chester in the UK, and then I'll probably look at maybe Barcelona in March next year instead as the first one, because I really, really, I love Barcelona anyway. Went there years ago, and I'm desperate to go back. So hopefully in the next 6 to 9 months, I'll be out somewhere jetting off to run a marathon.
That's going to be that. Have you, by the way, have you thought about doing Rotterdam? Because that's meant to be like pancake flat.
Yeah, that's in April. Is that's a spring one, isn't it? Or is it, am I right in saying that? Or, but it usually, the thing is, right, I had a stinker at London, and I've now got, from my recent marathon, I've now got my time to do London again next year. If I did Barcelona, I've got 6 weeks from Barcelona to London. So it's not enough to like get fit again and do it, but it's enough to recover and do it. Mm. I'd rather go back to London and kind of get, you know, run it well. And then I can tick that one off the list and move on to other ones.
One quick question, and this is relevant for quite a few people, actually. And we'll come onto the YouTube channel and all that sort of stuff a bit later on. But just a thought, in terms of recovery, you just mentioned, how do you recover, right, between, so, mm-hmm. I don't know, if you had Chicago Marathon or Berlin Marathon,
yeah,
and then you had New York, right, let's use, so let's say I get a place, because Berlin's closed, right, so let's say I get a place, how would you actually look at that recovery, how what would you do?
I do it in two ways. Either I'd either target the second one and use Berlin as a long run workout. So I probably, and that's probably the way I'd do it. I wouldn't go hard at Berlin. I'd go hard at the second one. Or if you wanted to go hard at Berlin because you knew it was a better course, and then I always have a week off completely, and then I have a gentle week back, and then if I've got 4 weeks, I just probably look at doing a session a week. I wouldn't overload myself, and I just work on building back up the miles, and then just a week taper. I wouldn't do a 2 week taper again, because you know I've come off the back of a marathon already, so, and you've just got to accept that you can't run both of them at the same effort. If I'm brutally honest, you'd have to sacrifice one of them and go, right, this one's the goal going to be for me to enjoy. I'm not saying you can't go hard, but I don't think you can run them both at the same intensity. So that's what I do. But if I'm honest with you, I'd probably use the first one as a long run workout.
Yeah. Someone's just said in the chat about Dublin, Wilco. You was there, weren't
you? Yeah, Dublin was nice. That's a good run.
Yeah, Matt did that.
Mm. How did he find it?
Hilly. He said it was amazing.
There were a couple of rascal hills in it, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think his Strava showed, you know, it's not flat. But he said it was absolutely stunning. But he was running Valencia, so he used Dublin as a long-run workout. And he did first half moderate, second half, good, you know, a bit more of an effort. And that meant he didn't really need to recover after it. You know, he could just move on to the next week. So, and it worked well because he then went and PB'd at Valencia. So, but he said it was incredible. I mean, Ireland know how to put on a show anyway. But he did say there's a few, you know, stingers in there for Hills.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, you're not going back to... Now, you've got... You haven't got... What have you got? You've got Great North Run, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm having a sort of like a fallow 6 months after doing four in 18 months.
That's it.
It's a bit like Glastonbury, where they let the grass grow for, you know, for 1 year.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just having like a little bit of a break and then perhaps look into... To the spring, if I don't get in London, I think probably favourite will be going to Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds could shout. Eddie, have you done Great North Run?
I'd love to. It's on the hit list. But again, it's around that time of year, isn't it? Where it clashes with a few other races. And I always think, like, it's usually a week or 2 weeks out from a gold marathon. And my problem is, if I went to Great North Run, I would go for it. And then that would mess me up for the marathon. So I haven't done it yet. I need to do it on a year that I'm not training for a marathon, or my marathon's a lot later.
This is interesting, right? Right. So give some background, Eddie. I mean, in terms of where you're at, you're a proper rapid runner. Okay. So just to give some people let's throw some times at them. So 5K time?
Is very old. 16:44, but I ran 16:01 in a 10K race in the second half of 10K lately. So I think I could get into 15, but I haven't done it yet. So that's the summer goal.
I think we should go with Ben to do a 5K. Ben is running.
Oh, because I hope so.
I'd like that.
Yeah, he'd annihilate me, but he'd be a good motivation.
Yeah, I think you should do that. Okay, half. What are we talking for half?
1:15.
What are we talking for the marathon again? Just to remind you.
2:40.
So, I mean, that's insane, right? But here's the thing, and we're going to make it relatable, so bear with us. Firstly, though, what was interesting there was how you look at your races, I would say, slightly different to us mere mortals, right? You're picking races, by the sound of things, for where you can achieve times. Is that right? Or that sort of thing? So... And I'm thinking, or I know Wilco's thinking, where's the nearest Greggs to the start line?
I go for the experience of the race rather than
which is fair enough. Right? Going,
you know, I like to go to places. We went to Edinburgh. We did the Edinburgh Marathon. I went there because I'd never been to Scotland before. Dublin, I've been there a few times, so I thought I'll go there. That'll be great run down there. You know, so mine's been a lot more based on the location of, you know, having a good time away. We went to Ibiza for a half marathon, things like that, rather than worrying about concerning myself primarily with how fast I'm going to run.
Yeah, and that's great. So, but it's interesting. So, a little bit of an insight into that, Andy. So, when you're looking at do you look at it on a year ahead? Do you look at it like whether you're working in mesocycles or how are you figuring out then when you're peaking for these sort of bigger races or target races, let's call them?
I try and do two marathons a year. So I only tend to plan the marathons I've got that year, although I kind of am already in next year because I've got the qualifying time and maybe London. So I know that I'll probably do those two next year. It's interesting. It's a really flipping good question, that. And there's two angles that I look at. I don't want this to sound, I don't know, I suppose it could come across as arrogant, and I don't want it to be arrogant at all. But I suppose this year, for the first time, because I'm training for, my current training is for a 32-minute 10K, and a lot of the 10Ks I do around locally, when you break 34 and you get into the 33s, you're running on your own and it's like a time trial. So I have started to now look at where there's a deeper field at the front. Having said that, I'm a real strong advocate of supporting club races. So I will predominantly every year support club races and do club races. So my two goal 10K races this year are both local club races. They won't have a strong field at the front and it would be like a time trial, but I have got others earmarked later in the year to two or three all singing, all dancing, great atmosphere, incredible experience races, and the rest of them I like to dive in and support local clubs around me, jump into their races, because I think there's a lot going on at the moment with running in the UK where I think there's a lot of negativity in terms of the lack of support, funding, all of that sort of stuff. And I think as us on social media, as us as runners in general, one way to combat that is to dive deep into our events that our clubs are putting on. So it's twofold, really. Yes, I look for where there's a deep field where I could run with a pack, but at the same time, always happy to support local club races. And I think that's where my heart will always be. So, yeah.
That's interesting. That, and I think you should be commended for that. I think your channel on YouTube, right. So if you don't know, right, and I appreciate some people might not know, Andy's got an amazing YouTube channel, Forest of Dean, FOD Runner on YouTube. He's on Instagram. He's, as I say, it's just an amazing channel. You learn so much from following somebody of Andy's speed and then putting some of that as an everyday runner into, even if you take 5% of how he works, trains, methodology that he uses, and the way he navigates his training plan. Honestly, if you're trying to get faster, trying to get stronger, watch his channel and put some of that into your training. It is relatable. And that's the great thing about Andy. Apart from, as I said, he's a nice guy. But I think you should be commended. And also, I think Ben does the same, actually. Ben is running. You two guys are showing that other side of it, which is great, because I don't think anybody else is really doing that in terms of that club. Like, I like to see the stuff that Ben does, that the Chelmsford Athletics, you know, when he rocks up and does those sort of like mad stuff. It's totally, I haven't got a clue about any of that, even though, you know, I love athletics coach sitting here, but because I don't coach on that level on the track, what we coach is different in a way. It's endurance based and it's off track. I kind of like that. That's the sort of stuff I like watching on YouTube. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, as I said, that kind of stuff. And I think both channels are doing a great job of highlighting that. I've been spoken up about some of the negativity around that sort of stuff, because it is still too inclusive. Exclusive. I think it's too inward looking instead of outward looking. I think some of those clubs do need to look at themselves and stop making themselves so inward looking. I think that's a real shame. That's not having to go at them, because I understand why, but I think if they can open themselves up, and so by people like yourself trying to show that it's not all like that, the perception is, you know, not necessarily the true. I think it's a good thing, to be honest with you. But they do. I do think, like, when I watch that night of 10,000s or whatever, it was a bit disappointing. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, I don't know. It just felt like it was a lot of, like, I don't know. It's
not for you. You didn't feel.
And that's not me having a go. It just didn't feel. It didn't feel inclusive.
Yeah, I get that. And I think what there needs to be in the running world in general is there needs to be more of the night of the 10KBs, but for a bigger a bigger and wider range of runners. So when I was there, I was just in awe, gobsmacked, incredible. And I think I said in my first intro, I was like, just think, this first race at 3 PM, everyone's running sub 32 minutes. And although they did, some people that didn't quite make it, most people in that first race were running between 31:30 and 32:30 or 33, which just blows your mind. Now, if you can get track events like that, where you start at, you know, sub hour, sub 50, sub 40, or awesome. I don't know, something that is a bit more and is a family day, that's great. Because on, massive props to On, never run in a shoe, never worked with them, never talked really. They've done some big things. The track event I went to in Bristol early in the year, they supported that. It was incredible. Again, really fast people there. They did it there. They're doing what other companies need to step up and do, which is support these athletic events. So I get what you mean. I'd love to see them do more of it and support a wider range. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, I say it's not a criticism because I was just in awe of, like as you say, the people who run these times and these. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And as I said, the fact that you're shining a light on it, but from a different perspective, I think it's brilliant. Mm. But I just wish that they would open it up a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
No, I do agree
a little bit more. And then everybody, you know, that's always the thing with me is you know to make it inclusive. But yeah, massive props, bruv, to try and show that in a different light. You and Ben as well. So fair play to you. Right, we've got some questions.
We've got
a lot of questions actually, Andy.
Yeah, shall I go through a couple?
Let's go. Let's grill him.
Okay, we've got Ben's gone running. He says question. He says, do you think weight has a lot to do with speed? I'm getting my PBs down. Recently PB'd 5K, and then 10K last week, and aiming for half soon. Well done, Ben. Great stuff. But I'm a big guy and wondered if my size holds me back.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. And I do actually avoid talking about weight because I know weight can be a really sensitive subject for a lot of people. But yeah, it does have an impact. I think someone actually commented on one of my videos the other day. I put a video out a couple of days ago about going from whatever it was in the marathon, 354 down to 240. And someone commented saying, you didn't mention weight loss in there once. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough, I didn't. And actually, it's a lot of training we can do. But I think... I don't know the exact sum. I can't remember. I've been told it a million times, but something like one or two pound a week can equate to sort of like 3 or 4 seconds per mile or something like that. I can't remember the exact formula. So it does make a difference, but you've got to find a healthy balance. You really do. I don't weigh myself. I don't want to know what I weigh. I eat what I eat and I run how I run. And if I lose weight because I'm running and it's summer, then I do, and if I put it on over winter, then I do. So your answer to your question is yes, it does make a difference.
Do you feel that you're with senior videos, and I know Chris as well, so I'm of a very different sort of frame than the pair of you, do you think that you're sort of like the right weight for you? That's what's important.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I was talking to my wife about this this week. I'm for context, I will give kilos, 7 kilos roughly. Haven't weighed myself, but I know I feel physically like I haven't changed from that for 2 or 3 years. If you work in stone, I guess that's around 13.7 or 8 stone, something like that. And
Andy, how tall are you?
6'6". So it's the ratio is there. But I said to her this week actually, I said I've been trying to stop snacking in the evening. I'd like to shed a couple of pounds for summer racing because I do have a bit of a dad belly. And I feel terrible. I'd be brutally honest with you. I've realised that I'm not eating enough and for it. And my body is used to eating what it wants to eat. So I've snapped out of that mentality already and gone, yeah, I'm not going to lose a couple of pounds. I'm just going to be what I am. Get that out of your head and just run because, we can all go, oh, we maybe could lose 2 or 3 pounds, but I feel rubbish in the day. I've got no energy. I'm clearly not eating enough for me and I'm a big guy, so I need to eat. So I won't give diet advice.
Point. Yeah. Such a good point.
Got to be careful.
And you told me off about this. Because, Andy, I was the same, right? So, but firstly, I was going to jump in and say, you've got to watch Andy's stories on Instagram because it's usually him eating, right? Yeah. He's usually got a plate of something or he's eating something, right? So it's brilliant. But, Tobe, you was telling me off this because I'm the same thinking, right? I should lose a few pounds. It's going to help me. Boom, boom, boom. Dad bod, usual thing, right? But even him up there who can't speak because he's been to the dentist today has told me off because I've not eaten enough and I felt funny. Like we've done a club session in the evening and he's gone, yeah, well, what have you eaten? Well, you've had a bit of porridge, you had something soppy at about 11 o'clock and that's it.
It's simply not enough.
You're trying to cut it out and you feel worse for it. So you know what? You just got a cowboy out and just eat whatever you want, really. And just
I agree with it. Sure. We're not elite athletes, so just enjoy life.
I'm close. Mm. See, my time's coming down, Andy.
I see the McDonald's stories. It's all right. I've been there today. It's fine.
Heroes eating McDonald's.
Great. Hey. Okay. Next one. Dermot Dowling. He said, just wondering, Andy, your training blocks seem to be perfection. Do you ever have a day when you just say to yourself, no, can't be bothered? And he's congratulating you on your new PB.
Oh, thank you, Dermot. That's really kind, mate. I do have plenty of those days where I can't be bothered, but I do kind of... So I suppose I'm in a training block right now. When I'm in a training block, I get really frustrated with myself if I don't run. So I don't want to, but I know that the frustration if I don't go will be more because I know I'm really trying to commit to something. But I do, in between training blocks, often have periods of time where I'm just going to like maintenance mode or just base training or whatever. And I'm a heck of a lot more relaxed then. And so I kind of compromise with myself and I go, right, in these 10, 12, 14 weeks, commit, do it. Don't make excuses. You can make your excuses afterwards when you're recovering, you know? So, yeah, I do. Don't stress if you do.
I'm just going to jump in. You said two words there. Let's explain and build on them. I think you said, what was it? Base something and...
Base training. Maintenance.
And what was the other one? And what was
maintenance.
The other one? So explain base training. And so just again, so it expands on that. What if people are looking at their training blocks, what do you mean?
So I guess it's just mainly focused on a lot more aerobic work, less sessions. So after the marathon, I did 6 weeks where I took a week off. I did a really light, easy week, did easy and moderate running, which are both, if you want to work in heart rate, I guess all sub 150, 155 beats a minute, so all quite relaxed. Then in the fourth week, I added a session in, one session, and it was just like 10 by 1 minute on, 1 minute off, just to spin the legs. The rest, again, was all easy and moderate. Fifth week, again, easy, moderate, one session. Sixth week, again, easy, moderate, and one session. It was really relaxed running, very calm, very enjoyable, no pressure, no pushing. And that, for me, is just working base, building the foundations, laying some structure down. When you come off the back of a training block, you kind of want to not jump straight into the next training block straight away because it might shock your body a little bit if you've had a rest. If you've gone marathon, rest, training, it can be a little bit of a shock, which is why I always kind of encourage people to just take that gentle, gentle approach afterwards. And then that I find is that lays down nicely, ready to start again. So that's kind of what I call base training. Or maintenance mode might be where I want to just maintain mileage. I do exactly the same type of in between training blocks. So it might be after like a 10K or a half where I don't need to have a week off or I don't want to. So I just go into that kind of, I'm just going to run maintenance, easy, moderate, the odd session, and then get back into a training block.
Yeah, that explains it well. I think there's a lot of people currently who are probably listening to this or watching this who are in base build phase, whatever you called it, where myself included, where we're sort of getting ready because we've, I don't know, maybe they've got Great North Run and that plan's going to start middle of June. So they're just starting to put their, laying that foundation down, getting some of the patterns, getting some of the frequencies. Not necessarily doing mad mileage, but thinking about, right, actually, I'm a classic example. I took basically May off. Done a couple of quicker runs the last few weeks, but really limited my mileage deliberately in the week to like 30 miles max. Some weeks have even been less. But I know that I'm going to have to start ticking it up in June.
Andy, if I just... Is this something that over the sort of like the 7 or 8 years that you've been running, is this something that you've managed to do sort of like trial and error, that you've come to these conclusions that this is sort of like, so would you encourage people to sort of like try different things and see what works for them?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it is trial and error. I think the one thing I've learned from base training is, I know you could sit and talk about all the physiological benefits and all of the why you should do this, that and the other. But for me, what's always been really important that I found is just to, if I know in my plan I'm going to be running 4 times a week, in those last 2 or 3 weeks of base training, run 4, 5, 6, mimic the amount of time that you're going to be running so that it's not a shock to your body. A lot of people will kind of go, like Chris just said, like you drop your mileage back, great, let your body recover, absorb everything and then go again. But just before you go again, what I found really beneficial, as I said, is to mimic the number of days and runs. Doesn't have to be the right duration, doesn't have to be the right length, can be a lot shorter. Just get your body ready. I'm working with a few athletes now that I'm like, well, before we do any intensity, let's get you back to 5 days a week. That's what you used to be. That's what you want. Yeah. That's the priority. When you're comfortable with that and your body can handle it, then we'll add serious stuff. So trial and error has meant that I've learned that. As I said, you could go, oh, it's great for your aerobic development. It's great for this. It's great for that. But for me, it's muscle memory for your body, getting your mind ready. This is what a training block's going to feel like.
No, that's exactly it's pretty much carbon copy to what I coach, Andy, in terms of setting those patterns and then working on the verticals, you know, getting that consistency in the week, whether it's 7 days, 14 days, 9 days, you know, wherever you do whatever way you do it, but getting those patterns, getting those number of runs, getting those sessions, just like whatever, just go out, trot about for half hour, but just go out on that day. Or if you're double running, maybe start, put one in and then layer the other one in and then start going up, you know, efforts, mileage, boom. Interestingly, do you train when you're doing your longer runs, do you go to like time on feet, or do you go, I'm going to run 22 miles, or do you go, I'm going to go out for, because obviously your times are different, right? So do you go, I'm just going to go out for 2 hours and like cover 20?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Time. I find I used to do mileage, and I still sort of, I mean, it's personal preference, but I think what a lot of people always kind of go, oh my goodness, yeah, I didn't think of it that way. And I was the same a few years ago, is like, your body doesn't understand pace. If you told your body run 8 minute mile pace, your body wouldn't have a clue. Likewise, your body understands time on feet, not 20 miles. So like if I go, you know, I'm going to run 2 hours and I want to run at this effort, then you cover whatever distance you do in that effort. And then I find with a training plan, it's easier to progress, because if you prescribed someone 5x K in week 2 or 3, and they run those K reps in 4:30 per K, and then you prescribe it again later in the plan to kind of get fitter, and they run them in 4:15 per K. Well, if you think about it, you want your plan to be progressive, and what they've done there is they've run 5 of them at 4:30, then 5 of them at 4:15. So they've spent less time in that intense zone than earlier, because they've run them quicker. So they've actually regressed. So you go, actually, I want you to run 5x3 minutes and do that again in week 8. And then what happens is when they get fitter, they just cover more distance. So it's the same time, they haven't regressed. I've always found time a much more logical way to work than mileage, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes 100%. It makes complete and utter sense. I think it's definitely the way to go, especially if you're starting out into more, let's call it endurance-based efforts. So, you know, you are, let's just say, progressing from, you've done your couch to 5K, you've gone up to 10K, and now you're looking at those sort of longer mileage events, half marathon, marathon. I would 100% say to you, go out there, time on feet. There's no point filling yourself up with all this, oh, I've got to run, you know, this, I've got to run that. No, you are better off going out, as you say, and doing that.
Can I just come in on this? Because, you know, as somebody who, you know, I've done 4 marathons, all of around sort of like 4 3/4 hours. And my concern would be that and I'm sure I speak for lots of people who sort of like, particularly people who are embarking on a big race, like a big half marathon or big, like their first one, to train by time. If you're going at, you know, my sort of easy run pace, sort of like 10 and a half minute miles.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm thinking, well, if I go out for two and a half hours, and I cover, you know, I'm only going to cover 15 miles, and I've got to do 26. How about coping with the sort of like the psychological aspect of that?
There is that, and you're right. There's a lot of science behind when you're training, regardless of your pace, regardless of your how far or fast you run, that golden rule that you should never particularly go over, just because it gets to the point where your muscles fatigue too much to recover again for the next week. And that applies to an elite marathoner, and that applies because I see elite marathoners on Strava and they'll peak at 3 hours and they'll have covered 29-30 miles at a steady pace, and you just think, wow. Or that 3 hours for someone else, like you said, could be 15-16-17 miles. It's still kind of, I know people that go over it, and I've coached people that have and they say, but I'd love to just go over it. And I'm like, all right, do you know what? I'll turn a blind eye. If you want to go to 3.5 hours, then I won't. I'll pretend I haven't seen it. Just don't do it every week, you know?
Yeah.
And what you've got to then do is make sure the start of your next week is relatively easy to make sure your body has a bit of extra time to recover. That's so awesome. It's a trade-off. You know, I'd always say, if you're going to do it, make sure you load up the second half of the week with sort of more intense work, shall we say, easier, especially if you've long run on Sunday.
Yeah. Train so you can train the next day, Wilco. And also, Tobe, did you notice Andy follows me on Strava? He just said about the elite runners doing something. Yeah. Was it
more than I do. I don't follow you on Strava.
I know.
You're always with him.
No, hang on. Would you block any of your mates on Strava from following you?
Me?
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I got blocked by my mate. What? Did you, Tobe? Yeah, Tobe. Do you going to tell? I know you can't talk because you're Tobe, but you going to tell him?
Well, it's more you and Si filling up my inbox and my comments with pointless conversations.
It's brilliant. Best thing to do, if you've got a Tobe on Strava, best thing to do is comment on all his runs. He loves it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll block everyone.
And tag people because he just blocked you.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, move on.
Yeah, there's two sort of questions here. Well, they're linked. They talk about the part of the country where you are. And Mark says, does having the Forest of Dean on your doorstep benefit you more? And Rob H7 said, what is the Forest Dean like to run? I'm thinking of doing the Maverick Trail Run there.
It's beautiful. It's honestly, it's stunning. It's what I call an elite training ground. It's just got everything you need. Most of the trails are runnable, or the ones that if you need them to be, so you can wear road shoes, you don't have to wear trail shoes. I very rarely wear trail shoes. And it's very rare that there's a bit of flat. It's always, there's a lot of undulations, which is what I preached people to run. And if there are trails there are certain trails that I use for certain types of workouts. You know, there was a training camp in the Forest, I think back in before Ben Parks blew up, because he came on it for elite and sub-elite marathoners, came down to the Forest of Dean, England Athletics hired out one of the campsites down here, and they brought all their athletes around here. So it's very hard to get a segment on Strava, put it that way. But we have a few people that come up and train that are rapid. Who's a steeplechaser, Olympic steeplechaser from the UK. He comes up most years. He's whizzed past me on the cycle track, and I've been like, and his dad's on the bike behind him, timing him. And it's honestly, I genuinely, one of my goals would be to run training camps here. Just feel like people would love it. And about the Maverick race, yes, I've seen that. I was tempted to do it, but it came the weekend before, but absolutely do it. Like, don't hesitate. I believe it's all mostly on fire track trails, because that's the easiest way that race organizers can get races to happen around here. The Forestry Commission are a bit picky in some of the more off-piste areas because of nesting and species and stuff like that. But do it. Don't hesitate. It's incredible, honestly.
There was touched on it, and we are going to touch on it quickly. you mentioned about shoes. So if you don't, again, if you've not subscribed, you, anybody listening to this, you have to subscribe. It's now mandatory. And by the way, it is now law. We've made it law in Malta because we're the biggest podcast in Malta. Anybody living there, they're going to be now subscribed to your YouTube channel because it is
very
mandatory.
Thank you.
You mentioned about shoes. We can't get away from the fact that Andy obviously does shoe reviews on it. But what I love, and I think what talk about for everybody else, is the fact of it's the ones where you put the videos out where you've done like 6 million miles in a shoe, and you go, this thing is still going strong. I just think that's the best content. Some of the best content. I love everything else you do, but for me personally, I love the videos when you come up and go, I've still got this shoe. It's done 800 miles, and it's like broken to pieces, this Brilliant. Thing. And he's going, and I just smashed out like a 10-minute 20 mile or something. That's ridiculous. we had a question. So anyway, you make sure you watch Andy's shoe reviews because they're some of the best out there. What is your favourite shoe so far? I think I know the answer to this. Of 2023,
the Brooks Hyperion Max.
Without
a shadow of a doubt. And I noticed in the question someone put about Brooks shoes being a bit sort of antiquated. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The Brooks Hyperion Max is like the Hyperion Tempo is amazing. I always look for a relatively high stack non-plated shoe, which are becoming harder and harder to find these days because everyone seems to want to shove a bloody plate in everything, and it drives. I think what a lot of people forget as well is these plates take away our natural biomechanics, so it's really not healthy to run permanently in plates. So I'm always looking for like a workout shoe that's not plated. I found the Takumi Sen. They finally released the 9 in my size. So I'm really tempted to get that. I really wanted to get the Magic Speed 3 from Asics, but again, that's got a plate in it, and I'm thinking suddenly I'm loading up my shoe rotations with plates, and I often find I get injuries when I choose, so I do try and restrict it. And the Hyperion Max is, without a shadow of a doubt, an insane trainer. Decent stack, 33mm in the heel, I think, or 35 or something, 7 or 8mm drop, so sweet spot for me. Firmer, not soft, on the firmer side, but my word, don't you move in them. They are rapid, and unlike the Speed 3s from Saucony, where I can run for about an hour and a half, and then suddenly I feel like I'm sinking, the Hyperion Max just push you all the way to the end, and I've put 380 something in them, and they're just about hanging on, and I want to get them to 400. They are amazing. A lot of people love them. Some people don't like them, a bit too firm. I get it. I understand, but they're amazing.
I'm on the firm camp. Firstly, it was the first shoe, and I said it in the video I did on them, that I took my hat off to Brooks, because I've openly come out and said, great company, Ghost Shoes, 1987 design. But Hyperion Max, I think I said even at the start of the video, looks like a proper running shoe. The only issue I had with that, it was too firm for me. My calves, every time I run in that thing, feel like they do today, which is I feel like I've done a race in them, because it's just that little bit too firm. But what I'm hoping is that I've got the Hyperion coming in. Hyperion Tempo.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping is the slightly less stack of that, because the original Hyperion I've got on well with. So I'm hoping the less stack probably will work hopefully a little bit better for me. But let's see what happens there. But I knew you would say that, Shu, because I remember when you did your video on the first Hyperion, you raved. And that's the only reason I got the first Hyperion, because you absolutely loved it.
Yeah, so I did. Bloody brilliant shoe.
He's loving it. Why don't you just get 18 pairs of them?
I would, mate. The Brooks Hyperion Tempo was the first shoe that I've ever bought more than one of. I was in a place on my YouTube channel where I was like, I know I could get this shoe. This will get really good views. And I just went, I've got to the point now where I've not backed off from shoe reviews, but I do them more so now that I pick the shoe that's going to work for training rather than anything else. And I thought to myself, I thought, I need another pair of tempos. I don't want any more. I need another pair of tempos. And yeah, they're brilliant.
I've got to give you a massive compliment. That's another thing that I love about your channel, and I would implore people to watch it, because you review shoes based on around your training, which is, again, it's a different way of doing it. Now, there's guys out there, you know, I'm just as part of the process, right? But, you know, literally they'll get a shoe and they'll do a first run, initial run thing in it, and they've done 6 miles. That's great. I get it. I do the same if it's a hot shoe. Yeah. We need views. We need to drive traffic to the channel. That is why, just the utmost respect to somebody like you, who is there saying, I'm going to get the Hyperion Max and I'm going to come back at 400 miles and I'm going to tell you what this thing has been like. I just think it's brilliant. I just think it's amazing. I'm on the gravy train now, so I can't get off it. It's too late for me. I'm turned to the dark side of doing initial runs after 7 miles. This is nothing. There's no helping me now. No saving me.
First impressions, mate. You know, you do them. You do first impressions videos, and there's a lot of my shoes that I test that don't get to 100 miles. But if they do, brilliant. And then it's a question of, am I then committed? Am I marrying that shoe to its life? You know, and the only ones that I've really done that to is the Nova Blast, the Hyperion Tempos, and the Hyperion Max. There's been a few others that I've cranked over 200 miles. The Streak Fly from Nike, love that one. But there's not many others. The Streak Fly. It contributed to a fair few calf injuries.
Toby had the same.
But when I ran in it, didn't care. Loved it. Bloody brilliant shoe. Non-plated again. You felt like you were doing all the work. I wasn't being assisted by a plate. When I put a plated shoe on, vroom, you know, felt amazing. So, yeah, I did. But I'm avoiding it this 10K block because I'm worried it's going to give me a calf injury. So,
Tobe's got a really good question.
Swings and
for
roundabouts.
You. Tobe's got a really important question for you from our sponsors, Tobe.
Well, I just want to, you've done the Brooks, but have you tried the Match Road 5?
Don't do my size. I'd love to. I got my only Skechers shoe that I've tried is the Razor Excess, and I loved it. And I had that around the time where I had the Puma Liberate Nitro and I had the Rebel V3 from New Balance. And I was cycling through those three shoes for my speed stuff. The Rebel V3 was too soft. My ankles caved in. I had to retire that 100 miles. Wasn't a fan. The Liberate Nitro was good about the three. I really rated it. And I would love to try more Skechers, but they just don't go up to 13 in a lot of them.
I'll have a chat with a manager. I'll put in a special request.
If they do, because I get them later on, and then I might find on sports shoes or somewhere that they have my size in an old model. But, like, I'd love to try any Skechers. I'd love it. Everyone raves about them, especially people from the States where they're much more accessible. But I go onto their website all the time, have a look, and they usually go up to 11 or a 12. So.
Well, I tell you where, Simon, right? Obviously, I've seen him on here or whatever. You know, he's always with us. But he got his Max Road 6 from Running Warehouse in the US.
Oh,
shipped
really?
Them over here, and it was a damn sight cheaper. I think it worked out. I think it was Tope, but I might be wrong. Was it 126 quid? He said.
Yeah, it's about 120. Yeah,
120 quid, and he shipped them over from Running Warehouse, US.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fair play. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Well, if stuff's coming out in the US, so like the Kinvaro Pro, right? I think, you know, some stuff like that, there's always releases ahead in the US, isn't there?
Yeah.
Of stuff. We get stuff before them. But it's worth looking. That I've done this the other week. He's desperate for the Max Road 6. And they're not coming here for a bit. So he went on Running Warehouse and went, yeah, I'll have some of them. And he's had them for a couple of weeks now. He'd done a race in them the other day. He'd done the Hackney Half in them. Hero.
Oh my
lord. So if you've enjoyed the chat about gear and stuff like that, don't forget Mondays, Bite Size. Yeah. Chris will dive into all sorts of your trainer chat and your tech and all that sort of stuff. So we don't always have you know, we tend to veer away from it a little bit on a Friday because you know, it's Chris's thing on a Monday on the Bite Size. It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock on a Monday, Bite Size.
8 o'clock on a Monday. So that means now we've got time is rapidly catching up with us. We've got loads of questions. If we could just rattle through some of these quickly.
Do some quick fire.
Come on, Wilco.
Okay. Do you weight train? If so, how do you factor it into your marathon blocks?
In base and maintenance training, three times a week, in a training block, like right now, twice. And it is comprises of core session, which takes 10, 15 minutes, nothing crazy. And then because my weakness is my upper back and my back in general, I do a weight session on my back, glutes and hips. And that is also comprises of just 10, 15 minutes. So on a Sunday, I'll do both. So it will take 30, 35 minutes as a combined. And then usually on a Wednesday, I'll do core. And on a Thursday, I'll do weights again.
Right. Okay. And then Stephen says, do you find during taper it's easy to lose some motivation, or can you remain laser focused right up to race day?
I used to, but this marathon that I've just done, I was absolutely fine and I had no paranoia, I had nothing. And I think actually what it was, I've got a new coach and he pushed me more in my taper than I've ever run before. Like I saw the nice decline, but I was still doing some decent sessions and it made the world of difference. Like I think often people can taper too hard and completely shift focus away from it. Everything pops into their head, but because I was occupied by these good sessions, I didn't even think about it until like the Friday before the Sunday. So on this occasion, no. And my advice there would be, don't taper too hard, you know, like keep it going a little bit.
Don't take it too easy.
What I mean, sorry. Yeah
That's okay, because I'm a great hard taper. I'll just sit on the sofa for 2 weeks. Rod said, have you made any changes to your form that have improved your running efficiency? Because looking at your PBs, quite a few of them are recent, aren't they?
Yeah, massive drills and strides before every single session. I mean, this week was the first week, and if anyone does follow the channel, I drop a training vlog of the week every Sunday. And actually this week on the Thursday, I overslept and I didn't even warm up for a session. And you'll see the disaster that happened. The first half of the session was shocking. The second half was brilliant because the first half ended up being a warm up. But I was 30 seconds a mile off my normal tempo pace because I didn't warm up. And that's huge for me. Like I was really great. And that's because I didn't do my normal 15-minute warm up and my drills and strides. Drills and strides, the weight training for my back and drills and strides, high knees, butt kicks, A skips, B skips, strides, anything like that before every session. I do that twice a week and I've done that for about 2 years now. It makes the world of difference. People go, why would I bother? It's, you know, it's these small little things. Yeah, but over 2 years, those small little things suddenly make a massive difference. So, yeah, drills and strides.
And you concur with that, Fordy, yeah?
Yeah, massively. So I was just writing something down of what he said about the what he does.
He's taking notes as well. You know,
and this is what I'm saying. It's so relatable. It, like I said at the start, if you take in just little tidbits of what Andy does to get to the times he does, you can make that relatable to what you're doing, whether you're, I don't know, you're training for your first half or you're looking to bring your times down at your 10K like I've been doing. Those sort of things, yeah, if you put them into play, it sounds funny, but I can't remember who it was. One of you faster dudes on YouTube was talking about, it might have even been you, Andy, it was either you or Ben, was talking about the warm-up that you do. So, yeah. I dragged Hayden off on, what day was it, Wednesday, wasn't it? I took Hayden off for a warm-up before we did that race. You know, it's those sort of things that I've changed and I've put in through listening to guys like you. That sort of stuff, guys, can make a difference in your training blocks. You know, what Andy says about, you know, doing your weights and things like that, all that sort of stuff. You forget the times he's running. Forget it. Because everything that he's spoken about tonight is stuff that I coach to people. And obviously I'm coaching people, you know, 3-hour marathoners, 8-hour marathoners, people are doing their first 10K. I'm coaching a wide section, but it's all the same stuff that we're talking about, right? And that's why it's so cool to have somebody like Andy on. So what else have we got?
Well, you ran a PB on like what you know, 42-minute 10K. And if you think about the warm up, what you're doing there is you're getting your heart. Well, okay, when the gun goes off in a race, you bolt out the blocks. Your heart rate shoots up. The first half mile feels the hardest, and then it settles. Well, you're eradicating that by doing a warm up because you're getting your heart ready and warming up so that when the gun goes off, you don't have that massive spike. Oh my gosh, can I hold this? Can I not hold this? You settle in very, very quickly. There you go.
And it's made a huge difference. I did it. So anybody hasn't followed the channel, but basically I've gone half PB, I've gone marathon PB, I've gone 5K PB, I've gone 10K PB, all in 6 weeks total, probably less than that. About that, right? Every single one of them, I've done a warm-up. Toe at London Landmarks. What was I doing? You said I looked like an idiot.
Annoying people.
But I was the only Urber zipping up and down. And that's how, you know, that's how I got off the line so quick, because I was, as you say, I was already warmed up. Honestly, people, I'm not just saying the warm-up is the key to running quicker, because, but it's just, it's these little things.
It helps. It helps.
These little things. Right.
One last quick question that Devon's asked, Andy. It's a personal one. What's your most enjoyable marathon you've run?
Well, my recent 240 was enjoyable, but in terms of where it was, London was the most epic one I've done. It was, you know, it wasn't the day that I had dreamed of, but I suppose to run and experience London was like nothing else I've ever experienced. So time-wise, Newport, the one I've just done, but experience London hands down.
And how fast is it? Kurt's just jumped in. How fast is this warm-up that
For me, I just do, all I tend to do is just it's usually a 10-minute very easy jog, like really easy, and then I tend to just do sort of 4 to 6 strides just to get the body going. Other people do different types of warm-ups. Some people almost get up to tempo for 2 or 3 minutes. But I just do a nice light jog, usually get my heart rate into the 120s, 130s. Just for 10 minutes. I might progress it a little bit into up to moderate pace for the last 2 minutes just to get that heart rate up, and then I'll do some strides.
Great.
Right.
Well,
so
I've got a bit of admin, Wilco, to do.
Go on in.
Before we let him go.
Crack on.
Because I'll get shot if I forget any of this. Firstly, get ready for it. This is the boring bit, Andy, but this is just life now. Global Running Day, Brooks Running, get on it, people. Get on the Facebook group, the link's in there. On Instagram, follow 40_runs and get on that. Next Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. we're going out and running. There's a Strava run set up. It's all ready to go. If you want to come physically and join us in London, 6:15 or 6 o'clock, come along. But we're running 6 o'clock, 6:15 at Runners Needing Monument. Just come along. Let's have a good time next Wednesday, please. I've got to give a shout out to the guys at Start Fitness. Startfitness.co.uk. You can get 10% off there using the code 40runs. We're up at Bladen Races next week, okay? So there's not going to be a live show. We've got a pre-recorded podcast and video going out, which is, I didn't like doing it, but it's an interview with me about 40runs, how it started, where it's going and all that sort of stuff. Bit of insight into me. I reluctantly did it. And that's next week. So that will be out. Probably should know, but I don't. But we are going to be in Newcastle on Friday for the Bladen Races, okay? We're then going to Leslie's, I probably pronounced that wrong, park run on the Saturday, okay? I want everybody there. Everybody, the 10 million people that download this, I want you all there. If you fly in from Vietnam, they've got airborne, right? And then on Sunday, because you've come all the way from the Philippines to Leslie's park run, I want you to get on the train and come down to Southend, because we've got the Southend half marathon on Sunday and we're having a picnic. Forget about the half marathon, where Ben is going to get destroyed by me because I'm going to make him run 144, not 145. But we're going to do that on Sunday. We're having a picnic afterwards and you're all invited. Andy, it's about 10 million miles away from you, but Hayden will probably send his helicopter. You're invited as well. Everybody's invited. Southend. So you either come to Bladen Races and say hello, come to Leslie's, where it's called Park Run, on Saturday, or come to Southend on Sunday, because we want to see you, or on Wednesday at 6 o'clock in London. There's an opportunity to get involved this week, next week, people. So get involved.
Yeah,
we want you out running, and we want you out being social. So come along. No reason not to come along.
With regard to Southend, I just wanted to do a quick shout out. We got a message. Hi 40, hope you're all well. Was wondering if you could give a shout out to Team Carly, approximately 50 runners raising funds and awareness for the Carly Lansley Foundation, a charity set up by my brother in memory of his late wife Carly. They are funding free heart screening days and installation of defibrillators, and they are all going with us to the South End half marathon. So we will see them there. We look forward to seeing them.
Yes. That last thing for me, Will Conan, you could take us home. is to be a massive, massive thank you to my main man who I've wanted on the show since day one to finally have you on, brother. Means the world for you to, you know, carve some time out to spend with us on a Friday. It means genuinely, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. Genuinely, absolute pleasure. I mean it. We've got to get together. I want you and your Welsh flying mate to ruin me on a speed session. I'll get in the car and I'll come down and I'll get ruined because I just think it'll be hilarious. But we've got to get together. We've got to do it. Please subscribe if you're not already to Andy's YouTube channel. Forest.
Yeah, Andy, can you just give us your...
Give us it all.
Give us your socials.
Well, firstly, way too kind, mate. And I'm really surprised we haven't touched on football, but I'm glad we haven't because that's too depressing. If we, I suppose on all the socials, I'm just FODRunner, F-O-D runner on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and every other social media bloody platform that there is.
That's great, mate. Thanks ever so much for coming. And we'd love to have you again if you ever want to come and see us and have a nice chat on a Friday night. You are always welcome.
Be a pleasure. So thank you for having me.
Thanks to everybody for your company this evening and your excellent questions. Toby was driving, you know, managed to press the buttons despite his trip to the dentist. So we're grateful for his effort as well. So thanks ever so much. Thanks to our sponsors, Skechers. Remember, please, skechers.co.uk. Check out all their stuff, their gear and trainers, etc. And thanks very much for all your questions and your attention today. We are on Facebook and YouTube every Friday at 7 o'clock. And if you can't catch us then, well, take us out and, you know, download us as a podcast. You can take us out on your long run. We're available on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, and all your favorites. If you want to try and get in touch, if you want to get in touch with us, go to the 40 Runs website, 40runs.com/longrun. Drop us a line and we'll give you a shout out and tell us how you're getting on and what you're up to. Thank you very much for your attention this evening. Have a great week's running. Hopefully I'll see you. I'm off on Wednesday, so hopefully I'll see you in London and we'll go down the monument. We'll have a little spin around the town. I was there yesterday and it's wonderful. It's a great time of year to be running in London. Come down and say hello. Thank you very much. Take care and we'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.